Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Josh, I do greatly appreciate that. Amen. Good morning again. You ready for the Word of God this morning? If you're not responding, I'm going to keep you here until 3 o'clock. So let's try that. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? There you go. Now you just reduce your time to 2 hours. So depending on how interactive you get and how you respond, the message will get shorter and shorter. Because if you are not responding, it will be an indication to me that you still need more. Right. So when you are satisfied, please do let me know and we'll let you go on your way. So right now we are just at 2 hours. It's 11 o'clock, so 1 o'clock will be done. We are in Lent, and we are looking at the series, the 5-week series, Journey to the King. A journey to the King, the reason for which we actually do exist. Last week, we looked at, Caleb did a fantastic job and led us and through the call to follow Jesus, the kingdom cost. And we heard last week that there is a cost that comes to following Jesus. It's just not you, like, you have to give up something in order to follow Christ. There is a cost. And for those of you that are obsessed with economical terms or economic terms, you know, it's like an opportunity cost. When you choose to follow Christ, you give up something. There is an opportunity cost that comes with that. But the great news we heard last week is what we give up for what we give up is greater. Let me repeat that. What we give up for what we give up is greater. What we receive in return is far much greater than that which we give up. Thank you, Josh, for that amen. So you just we just cut 5 minutes to the time. In order to follow Christ, we heard last week, we have to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves completely, not half-heartedly. We require to give up quite a lot. We receive the freedom, but the question is not just that receiving that freedom is the freedom from what? The freedom to what? The freedom from something to something. And this morning, as we continue in this series, you know, we see as Jesus is journeying towards the cross, he makes an invitation for us to follow him into God's kingdom. This series really explores how and what it means to live under God's reign. A kingdom that is marked with surrender, servanthood, and spiritual transformation. As we walk through that walk to the King, as we journey to the King, along the way we discover that the Holy Spirit is our guide and one who empowers us. We don't walk alone because the Holy Spirit is here to walk with us. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to God's presence. It strengthens us to walk in obedience and equips us to bear witness to the King who is already among us and is to come. What a great mystery. He is among us and is yet to come. Don't try to understand that with your human brain because it's very difficult to comprehend. These are such spiritual mysteries. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to interpret what these spiritual mysteries means. He is with us and is to come. Our text this morning is from Mark 10. And we learn of a blind man, Bartimaeus, who receives his sight. Now, the Bible tells that then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd. Those of you that are obsessed with celebrity lives, let me paint a picture for you. If Taylor Swift was to be in town, she would be followed by a huge crowd. And I am not by any means comparing Taylor Swift with Jesus Christ, because she gives no life, but Jesus is the author of life. But I'm saying that to help you picture the type of crowd that would have been following Jesus. He was a celebrity of some sort of his time. And he walked through the land performing miracles as he made his way from north down south on his way to the cross. He performed many, many miracles. He healed the blind, healed the sick. He gave life to those that did not have. This is a story that we are told here in the book of Mark, one of the last miracles that Jesus performed prior to going to the cross. I mean, there is one greater miracle that followed, which was the resurrection. And even another, you could consider the miracle forgiving the thief on the cross as part of that miracle of salvation. But this is also considered one of the last miracles. So this man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now understand this, in that time, if you were blind, you were considered a complete outcast. You were considered a curse. You were cursed. Remember, there was another story of the blind man in the Bible where the Pharisees asked, "Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents?" So he was one of the lowest people of the society. He was at the mercy of those that would show charity to him and give him some coins. He sat by the roadside. And I'm very sure it's very clear here. He must have sat by the roadside, which was quite a busy road, because as Jesus walked through, a crowd followed him. He would have been the right place in terms of receiving the charity. He would have been the right place. But a man came to town. A man came to town. And he would have heard about this man, because he couldn't have seen him. But he heard about him. And listen to this. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David." Everybody here at this point were referring to Jesus of Nazareth. But this man had already received the spiritual opening of his heart. His heart was open to the fact that this is the Messiah, the one that brings salvation. That's why he called him son of David. Remember, he heard the Nazarene was in town. But when he shouted, he said, "Son of David." The son of David. "Have mercy upon me." You see, when Jesus Christ encounters, I think a little while ago we did a series on encountering Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ encounters somebody, as we are been taught through many examples throughout the Bible, our eyes are opened, not just physically, but spiritually, which is a sign of God's kingdom breaking in. The kingdom is here and now. It's bringing healing, restoration, and indeed new vision. The kingdom is now, is here. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? You see, the Spirit opens our eyes to see God's activities around us and gives us the gifts of prophecy and words of knowledge to help us partner with Him in the extension of His kingdom. This blind man, when he shouted out, "Son of David, have mercy upon me," he was told to keep quiet. The Bible tells us, be quiet. How many times have people told you to be quiet? Do not disturb the peace. You are an outcast. You are not important. Who are you to speak? Who gives you that authority to speak? You are cursed. You are worthless. Nothing good has come out of your family. Look at your family lineage. There's nothing to boast about. There's nothing to write home about. And they tell you to just shut up. Do not speak. But listen to what Bartimaeus did. He persisted in the midst of all that commotion. Because you can imagine when Jesus Christ is walking by, I don't think it was a quiet affair. At this point, people would have seen so many miracles. So they heard about him. They came to see. Not everybody came to follow. Some just came to see, to witness all this spectacle. Maybe they came to receive a healing. But Bartimaeus, he persisted. He was so desperate that his desperation made him shout out to Christ even more. Even as the people told him, be quiet, he shouted even louder. Now, here's the most interesting thing. Jesus Christ was always surrounded by a lot of people, but he heard this one man. He heard him. And Jesus Christ came to a standstill. He was stopped in his tracks. If you remember the encounter Jesus had with the woman of the issue of blood, that persisted and pushed on, and she declared upon her, she determined upon her heart, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. That's the type of desperation we are talking about. They pushed through. And their persistence stopped Jesus in his tracks. And Jesus, being who he is, being the servant, he showed compassion. And he commanded that this man be brought to him. You see, this man understood his condition. He was an outcast. It was the law of the laws. However, his heart saw Jesus, even before his physical eyes saw Jesus. It's for this reason that he shouted out and said, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Mercy is something that you know very well that you don't merit. So this man knew his condition. He knew that he was not deserving of this mercy. But his eyes, his heart eyes were open. And he saw the Son of David. And if we read when Jesus said, bring this man to me, look at the change and the shift in attitude with the crowd. Here's what they said. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you. There was a complete shift on how the crowd viewed him. Because this celebrity has just called him out. He has just given him the attention that many people would have craved for. I have good news for you. Jesus Christ has called you. He has made you significant. He has called you because you are his own. He has called you in spite of any circumstances. And Jesus Christ is no respecter of your background and where you come from. He's a respecter of your heart, where your heart is, your condition of your heart. If you open your heart and you cry out for mercy, he will stop in his tracks and he will respond. And that response means he will uplift you. And the attitude of the crowd changes. That is the kingdom principle. You see, in the kingdom, there is no, yes, there might be different positions, but everybody is important. And the king looks out for the benefit of everybody. That is the kingdom principle. We work for the people. He works for the people. This man, this blind man, he knew very well that his salvation would come from nowhere but Jesus. You can just imagine for a moment how many times was this man insulted, trampled upon, and maybe people threw coins at him. This is not so far-fetched because we do see it in our society today. We do see it with those that are at the bottom of society in terms of our humanly ranking. We step upon them. They mean nothing to us as we go about chasing our greatness. You see, when Jesus stopped, he was called onto him. When he was brought to Jesus, obviously it's fair to assume somebody brought him to Jesus because he was blind. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus is asking you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? You know, if you read back a little bit earlier in the scripture, Jesus asked this question before. He asked it to John and James. They were both asked, what do you want me to do for you? Their response was very different. They focused on the elevation. They wanted the importance. Their mother said, can you have one of my sons sit on your right, the other one on your left. Contrast that with Bartimaeus, the outcast. He asked for mercy. He did not focus, on elevation. He asked, Master, Rabbi, Lord, have mercy upon me. And Jesus, filled with compassion, full of grace, he honored what the beggar asked. He did not honor what John and James asked. You see the difference? Only God and only Christ can make us great. But our attitude and our motives have to be right. You see, once Jesus said to him, his faith had healed him, go. What did this man do? He threw the cloak that he had. Again, going back to what we learned last week, the cost. Probably the cloak would have been a very important possession that he owned, but he threw it away because he knew deep down in his heart something was greater, that which the master had for him. And all he asked for was for mercy. He threw it away. And once he was healed, he didn't stay there. He began following Jesus on the road. This is such a wonderful evidence of salvation. You see, in the book of Matthew, it tells us he followed him, even his friend followed him. So there were two other people. We don't know the name of the friend. We don't even know whether that friend was even blind as well. But it was fair to say he was healed as well. He was touched because both of them followed Christ. And theologians have actually speculated that he would have followed him even the Last Supper he was there. Luke says this man, he followed Jesus, while glorifying God. He followed Jesus while glorifying God. He glorified God all the way. He was hopeless. He was stuck in his situation. Then came a man who went down and touched him. And when the people saw what had happened, they praised God. When we receive a miracle, it's not just for ourselves. It's to bring the God glory. It's so that God can be glorified. It's so that people can see and enter into the kingdom, so that we can experience that kingdom of God. Well, others may ignore your cry. Well, others may ignore the pain that you are undergoing in your heart. Well, others may ignore the burdened heart. I want you to know Jesus Christ hears your cry. He hears your cry. Whether it's a cry for healing, to be made whole, He hears your cry. And in His right time, His salvation is going to come. He is never too late or too early. He is always on time. I don't know what your circumstance might be. I don't know what you might be going through, but I have good news for you. Salvation has come. There is a man in town. You should call out, cry out. No matter what they tell you, no matter how shameful your situation might look, He will hear the cry of your heart. While others ignore you, He hears the cry of your heart. Because He has fully declared His plans is to prosper us. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's wombs. He who knows even the hair on your head. Josh is looking at me like, it's easy for God to know how much hair you have on your head, because I don't have any, but you're missing the point. The point is, He knows us that intimately. He knows us so intimately. He knows everything we are going through. How many times do we cry out in desperation to Christ? And how many times has Jesus stopped and showed compassion to us? Maybe you are out expecting this big miracle. You said, well, nothing has happened in my life. But look carefully. How many times has Christ stopped and shown compassion in your life? The mere fact that you are alive today, He has given you life. Okay, you just cut off 30 minutes for that. May the Lord hear our cry. Because of the compassion, the cross, and the sacrifice Jesus made, we can cry out to Him and He will respond. May we encounter Jesus in a much more profound way than we have ever encountered Him before. May we cry out. Don't let anything stop you. Persist. Push on. Persist and push on. The moment you take your gaze off of Christ, the moment you take your focus off of Christ, you start sinking. Because circumstances will seem they are insurmountable. In the human eye, it looks so big. But we have got a better and bigger solution, because Christ is bigger than any problem. It's not just a saying, it is indeed very true. He is bigger than any situation you might be going through. Cry out. As we journey to the King, cry out and you will hear the cry of your heart, and you will come down. And once you've encountered Christ, it is for His glory. Share the testimony. Share what God has done in your life so that many, many can come to know who this Christ is. Amen? I'm going to invite the praise team. As we worship again this morning, take time to think about the compassion of Christ. Take time to think about the time that Christ has stopped and responded to you. And when you do that, give Him glory. Worship Him, for it is the reason why He brings healing. It's the reason why He brings salvation.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.